Blog Talk Radio.
My American roots go back 7 generations, so I am going to talk tough about my country. We have failed to rein in our homegrown enemies. Throughout the decades, violence has plagued our country, but now the ability to buy guns online or in gun shops and use these weapons to wage mass murder is simply outrageous. A few weeks ago, a crazed doctoral student opened up fire on innocent moviegoers in Colorado. Now, just days ago, while we celebrated Olympic victories of our talented athletes, a neo-Nazi army veteran walked into a peaceful Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, and killed 6 people before cowardly turning the gun on himself. I suspect that his racism was so twisted that he thought the Sikh community was the same as the Muslim community, since the turbans brought out his racism. The larger question is, why isn't more being done to track down and curtail the destruction of our domestic terrorists who lurk in villages, cities, and towns throughout this country? They are lone wolves, destructive, dangerous, and so wrong about the ethnic and cultural complexities of our country. Joining us from Washington, D.C. to talk about this week's tragedy and the impact of the Sikh community is Dr. Gurmit Singh Aluk, president of the Council of Khalistan. It's a multicultural conversation that we need to have every week until we put the lid on the dangerous domestic terrorists in our midst. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thanks so much for listening to today's show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and I know we have all been into the Olympics. I certainly have been. I would encourage you to go to my blog that I posted yesterday about my thoughts of Gabby Douglas. I'm just so captivated by that young woman who won the all-around individual gold medal in gymnastics in London. She is the first African-American to do so and has done an outstanding job to represent herself, her skills, her family, and certainly her country. There are so many wonderful stories to talk about with the Olympics, but that one I wanted to highlight because of the significance of her and certainly her ethnicity here in the United States. No other woman of color or person of color since they have had gymnastics since the 50s has gotten that far. The sport has primarily been dominated by Eastern Europeans, done extremely well, and then fortunately a string of Americans have come up and also captured gold. I say congratulations to the whole team, the gymnastics team from the United States, and just congratulations to all of the athletes, regardless of where they are, the 204 countries that they come from. They are all winners to me. None of us sitting at home watching television could do what many of them have done. So I just give them high, high props. So congratulations to all of them. And again, read the blog yesterday. It's at www.tellcarole.com. That's TellCarole.com. And you can learn more about that. In 2 weeks, we're going to have a fascinating young man who I guess I've sort of known because he's an extended family member from Detroit, Michigan. Had a great idea, wanted to help out cash-strapped Detroit, Michigan, and had a lemonade popcorn stand last week. Well, that idea, this 9-year-old Joshua Smith, who is my nephew by marriage, came up with, and his parents supported him. I've known his mother since she was about 2 years old, and she's a wonderful young woman, married to a wonderful young man. They have 3 boys, homeschooled in Detroit, Rhonda and Flynn Smith, and their oldest boy, Joshua Smith, has now gone viral with what he's done. He actually raised $3,000 and has done an outstanding job to really promote civic activism from a 9-year-old perspective. He's been featured on CNN, ABC News, and his name is a hot ticket. So we're going to actually have them on my show in 2 weeks on August 23rd. I believe that's the date, and we'll learn more about the secret of the lemonade popcorn stand from Joshua Smith from Detroit. Also, we are excited because people are signing up for our cruise that will take place next April, April 13th to the 20th. We're going to be cruising to Puerto Rico, St. Martin, and St. Kitts, and Dr. Ada McKenzie, who is a cultural expert, is going to bring us tidbits, traditional information. She's going to make some wonderful presentations on board the Reflections ship that we'll be on during that beautiful 8-day, 7-night cruise. You can go to www.msfconnect.com. That's www.msfconnect.com. It's only $250 that you can put down for a deposit. It's going to be fun, just an awful lot of fun. I just can't wait for that month and that week to come where we can cruise and learn more about each other, cultural issues in the Caribbean, and the opportunity to have an awful lot of fun. I'm excited because my book is doing very well. I'm going to be off the air next week. We'll be on Martha's Vineyard here in Massachusetts with a very special book signing, and the book is just doing quite well. That's 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, Your Home, and Your Community. And chapter 21 of my book talks about religion. And we'll give you a very interesting fact about the Sikh community as we bring our guest on board today, just to talk about the Sikh community, what has happened in Wisconsin, and what the significance is in terms of that community and what that community means. We are going to bring on Dr. Gurmit Singh Alok, who is our guest today, and let me see if I can bring him on board here. I'm going to just switch gears and continue to talk because I need to just do something technically so that I can make sure that I have everything up and running. But we are just really excited about things that are taking place in Massachusetts and elsewhere. But we also want to talk about the significance of what happened a few days ago in Wisconsin. I'm sure that many of you have heard, we know about what happened in Colorado. But with that crazed doctoral student who unfortunately went into a movie theater and tragically so killed many people who were just watching the movie. You have to wonder why people do the things that they do. It's just mind-boggling to me. I don't understand it. But those things do happen. But we do want to understand what happened in Wisconsin. Just a few days ago on Sunday was a tragedy that took place in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. On the line is Dr. Alok, who is the president of the Council of Khalistan. And Dr. Alok, I know that you are there. I am having just a few technical difficulties, so I'm going to ask you just to bear with me, and we'll bring you on in just a few minutes. I'm just making sure that I am up and running with my studio board, and so I will just continue to talk about the importance of the Sikh community. They are robust. They're about approximately 500,000 members of the Sikh community here in the United States. In chapter 21 of my book, I talk about the Sikh community, and I encourage people to get a copy of my book. But here we are, and I think I'll be able to bring him up right now. I just had to do something with my little bit of technology, and I believe we are up and running right now. And, yes, we do have Dr. Alok on. Hello, Dr. Alok. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Ms. Thomas, and we thank you very much for giving this nice introduction. And if we have media people like you, we would not have faced this kind of hatred.
Well, what really disturbs me, and you can probably attest to this too, I've been doing diversity work for 25 years. This is actually my 25th year, and what is interesting, diversity is a very simple but a very complex topic. It's simple because it just deals with the basic level of respect and dignity that everyone should have, but it also asks people to dig deep, to do a little bit of educational work on their own so that they will properly respect people who should be respected. And when we see what I think happened with this crazed person, Wade Michael Page, the 40-year-old veteran who went into the Sikh temple and killed six people, I believe he was aligning the Sikh people with Muslims because of the turban. So, Dr. Alu, can you give us some background information about your faith, your community, and is this misconception widespread?
Yes, definitely. Our Sikh religion is the youngest religion among the five major religions. Sikhism is 500 year old. We believe in the equality of whole human race. It's monotheistic religion, and in the Sikh religion, women are given equality too, and we pray morning and evening for the well-being of the whole world, not only the Sikhs, but everybody else.
Right.
And we believe in service to God is to serve the humanity. And that's our faith and our service. Anybody can go and join the service, and after the service we distribute food. We call it Guru Ka Langar. Anybody of any religion can go there and eat free. Nobody would ask any question. You go there and sit with the in a row and eat it. And that was the reason that the Golden Temple, the holiest of the Sikh religion, it has four doors, signifying that anybody from any direction can come there and pray. This is the house of God.
Yes.
Gurdwara is Guru's place, Guru's God's place.
Mm-hmm.
And to do things what has happened in Milwaukee, it's really sad. I think it is incumbent upon the leadership and the media to educate American community and international community that all people are equal, and we are hardworking people in this country. We are over 700,000 Sikhs in this country, and even myself, if you remember in 76 swine flu vaccine, I'm a scientist. I was working at NIH. I'm the one who tested that swine flu vaccine before it was released for the consumption of the Americans.
Right.
There is Dr. Kapani who invented this fiber optic, which is the basis of so many other
telecommunications,
other industries and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, we are contributing. There was a Sikh congressman, Sardalip Singh Sond, in the late 50s and early 60s at the time of President John F. Kennedy. And we are contributing. We are hardworking. The biggest peach grower in California is a Sikh. His name is Didar Singh Bains. So in every walk of life, whether it is science, it is business, or farming, anything, we are contributing. And we are good American. We all love America.
Right.
And I don't know why this mentally deranged person has done it.
Well, what concerns me most about this particular perpetrator is the fact that he was being tracked, first of all, by the Southern Poverty Law Center, a think tank down in Montgomery, Alabama, that is doing a tremendous job in identifying and sourcing many of the hate groups that are operating here in the United States. So they had been tracking him for many years. But
that's
then we found out.
Thing.
Yes, and but then we find out that the FBI had been tracking him as well because of some activities, and someone had actually used him as a subject of their dissertation. So this was, unlike some of the other lone wolf domestic terrorists, this particular person, there was a track record and there was documentation on him that just absolutely mystifies me as to why there was some kind of there was not some kind of restraint put on him in terms of purchasing guns, because we see the connection of the hatred that comes out, and then the guns get purchased, and then you have this destructive behavior that takes place.
You are right, and you know what I mean. It's individual. The lieutenant, that Mr. Murphy, I mean, he got shot 10 times just to protect
right.
people.
Right. The police officer. Yes. yes. And, I mean, he saved many lives, too, many, many lives. He got shot like 8 times or so. So, I mean, it's just, I mean, the whole gun situation here in the United States is out of control. That's the first thing. And then the level of ignorance that gets perpetrated by these groups, these hate groups. And, again, I go to my book, chapter 21, I have a whole list of the world religions, the top religions, and certainly Sikhism is one of the top religions. 23 million people in this world.
We are 28 million.
28 million.
Yeah.
28 million. All right, so the information that I received, it needs to be updated. So it's 28 million people. So a very large religious group. And Dr. Look, I wanted to let you know that one of my colleagues is an African American, and he is also a Sikh. He's been a practicing Sikh for many years, Dr. Bill Smith, and he is at Wheelock College here in Boston, but has started a race amnesty organization at Wheelock College, but he is a practicing Sikh, so I know that there is diversity.
Him.
Yes.
Yep.
Diversity within your particular religious organization. Tell us more about the people and the community in Wisconsin. I'm sure that you have been in touch with them. How are they doing? How are they coping under the circumstances?
Yeah, they are actually, when this kind of tragedy happens, whole Sikh community worldwide, we get together and grieve together. I'm going there tonight, so I'll be there tomorrow because the funeral is tomorrow.
Yes.
And I'll be there up to Sunday. And Sikhs from all over America, they are going over there to share the grief and give the support to the local community. And even the Chief Minister of Punjab, he's going to be over there too tomorrow. He has already arrived, or he's on his way.
Wow.
So it affects the Sikhs worldwide.
Yeah.
And there are always some kind of individual mischievous people. You can't stop them. And,
right.
You know, Sikhs, they protested in front of American embassy, and some stupid person burned the flag of America. That's either a stupid or agent of somebody, because we love America. All Sikhs love America. I mean, this is the country. This is our home. That's
right.
Where we feel equal and free to do anything, whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like back home where, you know, they attacked the Golden Temple in 1984 and killed 250,000 Sikhs.
Right.
But that is over there. We are talking about this kind of tragedy here.
And you're referring to the President Gandhi's assassination and the retaliation that took place afterward.
That's true. That's true. The trusted bodyguards did that because she attacked the holiest of the Sikh religion. It's like Vatican to us, or Wailing Wall to the Jews. Golden Temple is like that to us. It's so sacred.
Right.
Yeah.
And can you also, for our listeners, because we're going to have some listeners who are completely unaware of the traditions and the practices of the Sikh religion, tell us about the turbans and
why men
wear turbans. Yes.
Yeah. In Sikh religion, our gurus when established the religion, Sikh religion, and they instructed us to wear 5 symbols, that whatever God has made, the uncut hair, the bracelet and a sword and a shard, and a comb to comb the hair. So these are 5 symbols. We call them 5 Ks. And to cover the hair, which are long, and we always wear a turban. And that's where people get mistaken for other people who wear turban.
Right.
And this is a part of our dress. Every Sikh must have long hair and should not cut hair. I know there are some people who do cut, but they deviate from the religion. Any practicing Sikh must be baptized, and he should maintain 5 symbols which I just mentioned. That's how we are. We could be picked out of 100,000. If there is a 1 Sikh with a turban and beard, you can pick them out, and we can be identified so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the basic religion, and we believe in equality, as I have said.
Right.
And in Sikh religion, in Holy Scripture, Guru Granth Sahib, women are given equal right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the... that's 500 years ago. Now there is a women movement for equality, all that. But it was done 500 years ago by our gurus.
Right. And Dr. Ulugh, can you also help us to pronounce the religion correctly? I've heard all different kind of pronunciations, and I am attentively listening to the way you are pronouncing the religion. And explain about the difference between the English alphabet and the alphabet used in the Sikh faith.
Precisely. The right pronunciation is Sikh, K-H, Sikh. In Punjabi alphabet, in our language, there are 35 letters and then many vowels.
Mm-hmm.
We can produce a lot more sounds than what is in the English alphabet. So
mm-hmm.
that is the problem, because when you are born here and you learn speaking English over here, it's very hard to pronounce the Sikh words, because
mm-hmm.
we twist our tongue in different ways. So the real pronunciation is Sikh, S-I-K-H,
yeah.
Sikh, and the name of the religion is Sikhism. So, as you know, with the Sikh, you become, it becomes Sikhism. With Hindus, it becomes Hinduism, and
mm-hmm.
with Muslim, Islam, and Christian, you know, all that.
Right, right. Tell us a little bit about your organization. You are the president of the Council of Khalistan. Tell us about your organization, and just give us a little bit of background about the region of India that that you claim home in terms of Khalistan.
Precisely. Sikhs live in northwest part of India, just below Kashmir, north of Delhi, east of Lahore, Pakistan, and that's the area. When the Indian government attacked the Golden Temple in 1984, they killed 20,000 Sikhs in June 84, and the Sikh nation called a gathering at Akal Takht, which is opposite to Golden Temple, right in that complex, and they passed a resolution for the independence of Khalistan on April 29th, 1986. And they also formed a Panthak committee. And that Panthak committee on October 7, 1987, because Sikhs were being persecuted, they were murdered, they attacked our Golden Temple, and the Indian government wanted to wipe out the Sikh religion. So they declared independence from India on October 7, 1987, and they appointed, they named the new independent Punjab as Khalistan. And they formed a council of Khalistan, and of which they appointed me as the president of Council of Khalistan, and also ordered me take, with the help of the international Sikh community and also all the world government, to free Khalistan. And since then, as they ordered me, I am working for the independence of Khalistan and against the human right violations of the Sikhs. And that was the reason in U.S. Congress, there are seven times the U.S. Congress cut partial aid to India because of the human rights violation, not only of Sikhs and also of the Christians and Kashmiris and other minorities.
Mm-hmm.
There are over 1,500 statements in U.S. Congress. And if you go on the website of U.S. Congress, punch four or five words, Khalistan, Punjab, India, human rights, Golden Temple, you will see all those 1,500 statements. And it is because of the this publicity or education of the international community by the Sikhs in America, the Indian government has now killed 250,000 Sikhs. The Movement Against State Repression Organization, Sir Inderjit Singh Jaiji, its president, they came to me and he told me, if the Sikhs outside has not informed the international community and made noise, Now India has killed 250,000 Sikhs. They might have killed 2.5 million, 10 times more Sikhs if we have not
formed the council.
Put pressure on Indian government.
Yes.
And that is the work of the Council of Khalistan and the Sikh diaspora worldwide,
right,
to expose the atrocities on the Sikh nation.
Well, I appreciate the update that you've given us. I knew that there was a border dispute with Kashmir in that particular area. I didn't realize that Khalistan was that close to Kashmir. And
South of Kashmir. And moreover, Sikhs ruled Punjab up to 1849.
Mm-hmm.
We had three wars with the British. We gave them tough fight, and they conquered us. But we were the rulers, and between 1799 and 1839,
mm-hmm,
when Maharaja Ranjit Singh was ruling, Punjab was the strongest power in South Asia.
Right, right. I believe that Beverly Munn and Joanne Fagan are on the line. Beverly and Joanne, are you listening today? Hello, this is Carol Copeland-Thomas. Are you listening? I wanted to see if you had
just came in, so we didn't hear the beginning of it.
I wanted to bring you on, Beverly, because you were the one that let me know on Sunday about the massacre. And since I have Dr. Alec on the line, he is actually going to Wisconsin tonight with many of the other members of the Sikh community. I thought maybe in 30 seconds or so you would like to express your condolences and also ask a question of Dr. Alec.
Okay. Doctor, I'm really most on behalf of the Sierra Gorham Women's Missionary Society of Charles G. African Methodist Episcopal Church. We extend to you and the Indian community our deepest sympathy.
Know that
while we don't walk in your footsteps, we know about discrimination. We've been there. We're still there. And I just hope that in the future that we can all work together.
Yes.
To to eradicate this, because this that was just so senseless.
That was so senseless.
And then the thing that really got me was that he knew what he did was wrong, and he killed himself because he didn't want to have to go through being tried and all of that.
We're talking about Wade Michael Page, the accused shooter, killer, in this senseless massacre in Wisconsin. Yes. Beverly, thank you so much. I appreciate your comments and respect you so much, and I wanted to just bring you on so that you could express your deepest sympathy to Dr. Alec, who is actually traveling to Wisconsin tonight, the funeral and the activities of tomorrow. Thank you, Beverly.
You're welcome.
All right. I also wanted to let my listeners know that if you go to my website and you go to the blog page, that's tellcarol.com, www.tellcarol.com, the information about the services is on the website. The services will take place tomorrow. The address, if you'd like to send a card or expression at all, if you'd like to send a monetary contribution, you can go to tellcarol.com, go to the blog page, and you will see the information right there on the page. Tell Carol, that's TellCarole.com. Dr. Alec, please express my deepest sympathies to family members and friends and those you will see tonight and certainly tomorrow. Please let them know that on behalf of myself and many, many others here in the Boston area and throughout the country, we are deeply saddened by what has happened.
I will definitely do that, and we appreciate your sympathies and also giving information on air. It will help us tremendously, and it will also help the American people to understand Sikh religion and our people in this country. We are hardworking people. We believe in God, and we are good, peace-loving American, and I don't know. I mean, this one brave person has done it like that in Colorado.
Right. Very senseless.
These people?
Very,
yeah,
very senseless. But thank you so much for being a guest on my program. I respect the work that you're doing, the leadership that you have. Please send our sympathies to all those in Wisconsin who have lost loved ones now because of senseless hate in this country. It's got to stop. Thank you so much, listeners. We hope that you'll spread the word about this show and have others to listen to the show. I think they'll learn something about the Sikh religion. Enjoy your week. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Have a great day, and thank you so much for listening to Focus on Empowerment.